Now then, do you enjoy Christmas traditions? Growing up, my mother used to hide silver coins, or actually silver threepenny bits, inside the Christmas pudding. So pudding time was a bit of an adventure, because you might have in your portion a silver coin. Although we had to keep an eye on one of my grandfathers, he didn't have many teeth, and we're always worried he was going to swallow one of the coins. But Christmas traditions, there's advent calendars and turkey dinners and maybe Brussels sprouts, Christmas crackers, paper crowns. It's the only time of the year. Why do we wear paper crowns? The only time of the year we put them on. There's the King's Speech, and then maybe on Boxing Day there's a dip in the sea or in a lake. And of course there's a carol service. That's a Christmas tradition. Christmas traditions. But I did hear someone say that one Christmas tradition is don't talk about Jesus. But of course the readings are all about Jesus and the events of his birth. There's Mary, she's a virgin, but she's pregnant. There's Joseph getting the divorce papers ready until an angel appears to him in a dream. And then the angels announcing good news to the shepherds. And here are real people whose world is invaded by another world, a heavenly invasion. So what does it all mean? Who is this Jesus? Well, we're told by the angel. Remember what he said. The angel said to them, to the shepherds, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord." And there you have it, just in three words, three simple things. We're told that Jesus is the Christ. It simply means he's the King, the Anointed One. Now, for centuries, people, spurred on by promises from God, they shared a dream that one day a king would come, a king who would carry on his shoulders the fate of the world, a king to heal a broken world, to put everything right, to stand it the right way up, a king to end all kings. Well, says the angel, in the city of David, the royal city, the promised one is here. The coming one has come, the Christ. And the second thing the angel says is that this Jesus is Lord. He's Christ the Lord. And Lord is a divine title. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Jesus is Lord of all. The someone who made everything, the someone who made me, that someone was born in Bethlehem. The author of history has written himself into the story. So he who had no beginning begins as a baby. The one who breathed worlds into existence catches his first breath on that Bethlehem night. The upholder of the cosmos, dependent on his mother's milk. Sometimes people say to me, "I don't believe in God." And sometimes my reply is this: well, tell me who the God is that you don't believe in. Because I may not believe in that God either. But when we look at Jesus, we see who God really is. God is not unknowable. He dwelt among us. We see the godness of God in the face of Jesus Christ, which is why when he grew up, he did what only God can do. He forgave those who had wronged God. He hushed a storm with a word, and he even raised the dead, said the astonished eyewitnesses, the people who were there. And something more. because then, as now, it was a world of broken humanity, a world of stress and worry and broken relationships and dysfunctional lives and families and unrealized hopes, a world of hatred and violence and fear, a world of sadness and shame and isolation. Here were people in the grip of powerful destructive forces from which they could not free themselves. And yet when they met with this Jesus, Jesus Christ, when they met with the Lord, everything changed. When God stepped into our world, he wrong-footed us. He wasn't religious. He wasn't a stained glass window. His first thought wasn't to condemn. He stood with us in the muck of this world, the humble God, the approachable God, the God of wonders, the God of love. So Jesus is the Christ, he's the Lord. And thirdly, says the angel, he's the Saviour. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. He comes to the rescue. Now, that first century world was waiting for a Saviour. You think of the Jews. They were oppressed by the Romans. They were ruled by a corrupt elite. They were policed by religious zealots. It was a nation that was riven with racial and religious tensions. What could be better than a Saviour? A Saviour who's come to put everything right. But the salvation that Jesus comes to bring reaches so much deeper, so much further, is on a far greater, more wonderful scale. The angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." Why are things in a mess? Why am I in a mess? Well, because in our readings, when the heavenly and the earthly collide, the angels, they say, "Fear not," because we're afraid. The angels say, "Good news," because all we seem to hear is bad news. The angels say, "Great joy," because this is a world of sorrows. The angels, they speak of peace, because in this world there seems to be no lasting peace. Well, which side is the fault? Does the fault lie on the heavenly side? No, the fault lies on our side. Because, says the Bible, we've frozen God out. We've walked away from God. We've walked out on God. And now we're so lost, we don't even know we are lost. But God himself, he breaks in to announce to us good news. Good news of a Saviour. Now, last winter, Storm Bert, I don't know who chooses these names, but anyway, Storm Bert hit the country, leading to flooding. And a dad was driving home with his 11-month-old son in the back of the car. He hit a dip in the road. He thought it was just a shallow puddle until the car started floating and the water started to pour in, and the floating car was becoming very quickly a sinking car. So what did Dad do? Well, he wound down the windows, climbed out of the car, and with the water up to his chest, he carried his son above his head to safety. And apparently, throughout the whole ordeal, the 11-month-old boy didn't wake up. Now, it was a close-run thing. His partner, Paige, said, "To think I could have lost them both." And the dad himself said, "I'm grateful we got out safely and can spend Christmas together. Now that's a heartwarming story, isn't it? It's a heartwarming Christmas story. It's a heartwarming story of a rescue. And that's what we have here. In that story, the baby was saved. In the Bethlehem story, it's the baby who does the saving. But of course he does it as he grows up, which is why the Gospels, they move from the cradle to the cross. Now, I can't save myself. I'm on that road to ruin. But it's Jesus who comes to the rescue. And on that cross, he dies the punishing death for sin that I deserve to die, so that I don't perish. And rising from the dead, he lifts us up. Lifts up all who trust in him and carries them safely home to heaven. And what is that if it's not love? A father rescues his 11-month-old son. It's beautiful, isn't it? That's love. But this Jesus, he comes to rescue us from sin and death and hell and all at infinite cost to himself. That's a different scale of love. That's love divine. All love's excelling. No one has ever loved me like that. But he comes to save. Comes to save us. And it's more personal than that. He comes to save me and to announce good news to all of us. And good news to me. Who first heard this good news of a Saviour? Was it good people? Was it religious people? Oh, come all ye faithful. No, the good news was announced to shepherds. It's announced to ordinary people. And it was the last thing they were expecting. So what did they do? Did they start becoming all religious? No. What did they do? They listened. And that's a good place to start. And then they went to see for themselves. And that's even better. And they discovered that it was all true. A Saviour who is Christ the Lord. And when they discovered it was all true, they couldn't stop talking about it. Because when you come to Jesus, just as you are, nothing is ever the same again.